to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
Excellent.
I'm Ron Calgill. Running all the way over there and back.
Yeah, I was
I'm
trying to.
Breath.
That's like a why good, we ran
that was
into
a good
each
what,
other.
Eight,
I was
9 feet
run. To the camera.
Yeah, it was. It was like 15 feet, Rich. At least 15 feet there and back. And I didn't make
Killer.
It. All right.
Can you hear my neighbors cutting his grass now?
maybe when the music stops, I will. Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org. to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. Yeah, listen to that. That is a beautiful sound. I hear that lawnmower going in the background, Rich.
Sounds like a snow thrower to you, doesn't it?
No. I do. See, I hear that lawnmower, and I have that smell of freshly cut grass going through my head right now. And it's 25 degrees outside here in Chicago.
Yes. It's a little warmer here.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And just look on Twitter as Mighty House. And that's our hashtag, Mighty House, also. You can give us a call on the Your Name Here helpline, 877-711-5611. Are you looking for a luxury kitchen at an affordable price? Don't go any further than alinecabinets.com. That's A-L-I-N-E, cabinets.com. And that's just not the Chicagoland area. They will ship anywhere in the country. So you can go check them out right there, A-L-I-N-E, cabinets.com. All right. There we go. Let's go to the phones here, and let's bring in Greg Merced. Is that correct, sir? Greg Merced?
That's it.
Excellent.
Good to be with you.
Hey, thanks for calling in today and joining us for a little bit. You had an interesting topic, and that is something about, like, when you clean your house, it's like a pack of cigarettes, inhaling a pack of cigarettes or something like that. What was the deal with this?
Well, there's a new study out, you know, that if you have your kids use a cleaning product to clean your house, it's like the same thing as asking them to smoke a pack of cigarettes.
No.
And I have a theory about it. I've got a theory.
Uh-huh.
My kids are smarter than ever, right? They just can. They're smart. I think they funded this study. and this
just
is
to
their
get
way
out of cleaning.
To get out of chores. I thought I heard it all, but now there is yet another thing to think about, and it's like, don't make me clean that toilet because it's like I'm standing outside on a smoke break.
Right. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Right. So they've banded together. All the grade schools have banded together to come up with this study. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think they funded it. We need to look into this. I think
it's
we need to look
science project gone awry.
Yeah, science project gone awry. There you go. Excellent. So what?
No, but I did a lot of research for this. Okay,
uh-huh.
And I've got the solution. I've got the solution because we can't have our kids use any kind of cleaning products, you know, and everything's all natural these days.
Right.
So I think what we need to do is just load up little squirt bottles with apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
And have kids clean houses with apple cider vinegar because it improves your skin health. You know, if you have this,
uh-huh.
Kid can squirt his face in the middle of, you know, cleaning the toilet.
Right.
That works, right?
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if the dog walks by while you're cleaning the toilet, you can spray the dog because the apple cider vinegar kills bugs and fleas, you know, so that works.
Wow.
And, you know, you can gargle with it, too, and it whitens your teeth. So this is the thing to do.
But,
I
so
think I figured it out for you guys.
Apple cider vinegar is the miracle cleaning solution? Is that what you? That's what I'm hearing.
It's gotta be. It's just gotta be, and it makes it. And it smells so wonderful, right? It makes your house smell so good. So yeah, load your kids up. Squirt bottles and apple cider vinegar.
Wow. Well, okay, so we sent out the newsletter, and we posted it on Facebook that you were going to be on today. And someone commented that nothing cleans as good as bleach. So bleach is kind of toxic, though, isn't it? And it's not only not good for you, but it's not good for the environment when it goes down the drain. Is that correct?
I think so. Plus, it makes you lightheaded, I think. It's a little rough. But, you know, one of the good alternatives to bleach is lemon juice, literally. And I'm not being cute on that one.
Yeah.
Lemon juice is a good alternative. And so you could literally use that to you know, scrub down the cabinet top and,
right,
and your surfaces in your kitchen and things like that. So, plus, it smells good. That actually does smell good.
It's good for your gin and tonic. So can you use that in your laundry, though, too? Because, you know, a lot of people like to dump bleach in their, you know, with their whites in the laundry. Is that something you can still do?
You know what? I have no idea.
Oh, sure, good. We stumped the cleaning expert. Good. There we go. So we'll have a listener try it and then give us a call back and report back on whether or not the lemon juice was good on their
My white's turned yellow.
I love it.
Yeah. If their whitey tidies came out nice and clean, that's what we need to know. So,
and smelling good.
Right. So some of the other things that is
bees chasing your shorts.
What about like people that use some of these cleaners and stuff, can they cause headaches and some other issues, health issues?
Well, you know, I think they can. I've used some stuff, and it's like, holy smokes! After I spray it in the shower, I got to get out of there because it smells so bad. But you know, I think it is a challenge for parents these days to kind of motivate their kids to do these household chores, mm-hmm, or around the house. And then I think one of the best ways, I'll just be straightforward, I think one of the best ways to motivate your kids is to give them some incentive, and money talks. And I think that that's a good way to get your kids kind of off the couch, uh-huh, and doing things that are important around the house, and, you know, give them some safe stuff to clean with, but get them motivated with some money, because that really connects two really important things.
But see, right?
Growing up, I called it chores.
Right. Well, and my dad
had to do chores if you wanted a couple of bucks for your allowance. You,
right,
know? I mean, it is what it is.
And my dad would tell me that, you know, I've got a roof over my head and food in my belly and clothes on my back. That's payment right there. Get to work. So, you know,
And I agree with that. You know, we don't have to pay our kids for every little thing they do.
Uh-huh.
But when they, you know, when they go up and beyond the call of duty, what a great thing to do to be able to, you know, get them some money in their hands and make some decisions, so they're not living with you till they're 37 in your basement, right? We want them to leave. Right. So they got to learn this stuff.
Right, right, right. So
it's a great place to do it. It's like the perfect ecosystem to learn not only how to clean the place, because they're always making a mess anyways.
Right.
But to get them those life skills, right?
Right, right.
Yes.
And that's what Rich's dad used to make him, is if he broke a door or something, his dad would make him fix it. His dad wouldn't fix it. So, I mean, this is kind of the same thing, is you made the mess, you clean it up.
Absolutely.
Are there specific cleaning products that you think we should be watching out for, if we're going to buy some cleaning products for our kids to be using, or for us to use for that matter, what kind of things should we be watching out for that we don't buy?
You know,
anything with a label?
I would say that I would say it's always best to kind of stick with the basics. And I was kidding about the apple cider vinegar, because that stuff is just crazy nasty, if you ask me. But
uh-huh.
But the normal vinegar, that really does work good. And you can use it on a lot of different applications. You know, you can use that to clean the garbage disposal.
Okay.
I mean, how many times have you had a bad smell out of that? But that's a good way to do it. And then literally do throw a lemon in there after. You can use some of these baking soda. You know, baking soda is like one of those things that you can use for a million applications as well. And then I mentioned the lemon juice. Those natural things are really great to use when cleaning around the house.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all good. And then I also, you know, we got comments and stuff coming back, like I said, when we posted that you were going to be on. And our buddy Aaron over at Mr. Floor said all of our cleaning products are non-toxic and environmentally friendly, too. So he wanted to make sure he got his shot in there. And we're talking to Greg Mercette and talking about safer cleaning products and a new study that your kids came out with. If somebody wanted to contact you, how can they get in touch with you?
We're everywhere families are. So it's busykid.com, or we have Android or an iOS app. People can download that. And really, I think, get their kids busy doing things that actually matter and give them the life skills to finally get out of your house.
Excellent.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on it.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can give us a call on the Your Name Here helpline, 877-711-5611, and we'll enter you into for a chance to win the Mighty House multi-tool measuring leveling device. And I forgot to do that during the break. I was going to actually go grab one.
You need one? I can go get it.
Yeah, you want to? Can you snag one?
I thought you did. That's what I thought the 15-foot run was.
Well, no, I ran over there, but then the cabinet was locked. So then I was going to have. I needed my glasses that were in here. So
I got you.
So then I would have to run back here, put my glasses on, run back out there, undo the lock. It was just, I knew I was running out
of
time.
And you definitely were under some time constraints. I don't think that was going to work.
Yeah, no.
So that's fine.
Yeah, so then I bailed on the whole idea of getting the tape measure, measuring, leveling device. And
bailing wire.
Yes. And then I just.
Or what are they, florist wire.
See, there you go. He's holding it up there now at the Facebook Live.
There you go. See, yeah. We have these with the Mighty House logo. It's a 4-in-1 tool.
Yep. There you go. And it has, see, the cool thing about the tape measure, it stands out. And you have to push the button to get it to retract, which is very cool.
So you just cut yourself. Yeah. How far will that go before
it flops kinks. Over? Try that, Sonar. See, how far can it stand out before it flops? You keep going. Now let go. I'll keep going. See.
Holy cow. That's actually pretty good for a.
Yeah, it's going. Oh, there it goes. Where did it break?
What was it? Is that 4 feet?
45 inches. It broke out.
It's pretty damn good, actually. Yeah. That's how I stand in a box store and need tapes, because you go through a tape like every house when you're doing them.
Right.
So you stand there and, you know, in an aisle and you're just pulling this thing out and they're like, excuse me, can I help you?
Yeah.
No, I'm good. Kink. Like, nope, that one's garbage. Go to the next one, you know.
Yeah. There we go. It's pretty cool. I'm digging it. So we can set it there.
Nice.
The desk was made nice and level. It's coming up perfect. See, that's how that works.
I will give you a little warning about that. That level being 2 inches, you could still be off quite a bit. So be very, you know, in other words, don't just put it in one spot. Check around.
Yep.
Because when you have a very short level, like a torpedo level, whatever, they're accurate to within their length.
Yes, they are. It's exactly true. One other thing that came up this week. So I was out. Looking at a job site, talking about putting an addition on and stuff. And I walked around and I looked at the house. The foundation was made out of block. And I walked out and I went, oh, cool, a Sears house. And the owner said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, all of these blocks were handmade here on the site when they built the house. And then I said, the rest of this is a kit home from Sears. And So he didn't know he had a Sears house. So it was, and it's still pretty much original. It was really cool. The kitchen had been redone. Bathroom had been redone probably in the 60s or so. But other than that, it was all original. It was really cool.
I did not realize you had that many, like up north.
Yeah.
In what area?
This was out in Mount Prospect, Palatine area.
I could see that maybe. Really?
Yeah.
Because down in the south, Steger, there's actually a whole subdivision that's literally all Sears homes.
Sears homes, yeah.
like somebody probably just said, I'm going to be a builder now. And he bought a tract of land and just started ordering from Sears.
Yes.
You know, which but, people, and you, if you Google it and come up with some of the old ads, they're pretty cool.
Yes. Well, that so I researched the block maker so I could send it to him to show what it was. And his exact pattern was in there, you know, because you could order different patterns for the face of it. So it was called the Wizard. It was a block maker, and it would take you about 17 days to make enough block to build the foundation for the average Sears home.
Okay.
And, yeah, so you'd go out, and what they say is people would get done at work. Then they would go out to their site where they were building their house, and they'd stand there and make blocks all day.
Okay.
You know, farmers used the block makers to make garages and barns. You know, people would use them to make their outbuildings and whatever they were doing. But a detached garage, a lot of you'll see with other block and have that scrolled, face, uneven face. Those are all made with that block maker, and they were just made there on site. So
now here's the challenge for you. If you're going to do an addition on his house, are you going to make a pattern out of his existing block so that you can match the foundation around?
Well, of course, you know that's what I want to do. You know that. Now, whether or not he's going to be willing to pay to have that matched up, now you got a different story, you know, because the part where we are going to add on is off because the house is like built into the side of a hill. So part of it's all buried and you don't see it, but the other part that is exposed and the section that we're going to be adding on to, it would all be exposed block then.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know I want to do that.
Right.
Which is why I researched it.
Yep.
Because I think there would be nothing cooler than to go ahead and make the block up and go ahead and continue that that foundation correctly and matching that up. Because I think that would be way cool. Now, cost-wise, you know, to have two guys for 17 days making handmade blocks... that's not going to be that cheap.
Well, because like down here, we do a lot of precast concrete for our decorative items, whether it's just windowsills, lentils, could be brackets, corbels, whatever.
Right.
But they're literally concrete. Well, my guy that makes them for me, he has a very cool five-axis CNC. So he can digitize anything, including the face of that block.
Really?
And it would cut out the foam patterns. You know, and then they rubberize them or whatever, they treat them, and then they literally just pour it. So you could literally have these stick to your foundation.
Or you could just do a frame.
And then once you paint it all or whatever, you know what I mean, then it would all blend. But because we mix the paints right into the stuff. We don't, it's dyed.
Say that again. You cut out. Say that again.
You don't paint the precast. You actually put the paint colors into the dyes into the concrete.
Oh, so really?
Yeah. So we'll match all Sherwin-Williams colors, you know, for exterior paints and that. If we have a trim color, they'll work at it, and they'll dye the concrete so that it matches. And it's obviously no maintenance.
Yeah.
Do you think that may be something that, because the 3D printing house is the new way to essentially lay concrete or whatever people are talking about with it.
Right.
Do you think that that's going to be what it is? Essentially, somebody makes a prefab 3D printed house and then just surfaces it however they want to?
Yeah. No, they've already got over in England.
I saw that one for that roundhouse. The thing sets up in the middle. It literally 3D printed a, 24-foot diameter house?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, all out of concrete, you know. So
yeah, it's crazy.
So, and they've got machines now that'll lay block and brick, and, you know, they do all that stuff now. So it's going to evolve into that, I'm sure, you know, especially with labor shortages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's no way other way. Someone's just going to be loading a machine and the thing's going to be running 24 hours a day.
Oh, and then there'll be a labor shortage of people loading the machine.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't like picking up stuff and putting it places. I don't want to work.
Right, right.
Well, no, you have your unmanned truck drive the material to the location, and you have your unmanned forklift loading the machine. I mean, basically, it's just the machine's doing it.
Yeah.
You go on vacation and your six tiny homes are already built for you.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So to get back to the Sears home thing, though, I mean, people would buy that block maker. And I think I figured it out. It was going to be that would be like spending $1,500 today to buy a machine to make block. And then you would just stand out there. You know, you go out and make these block and build your own home. And then once you had the foundation done, then you went to Sears again you ordered the house kit that you wanted to put up. And then that would all show up. All the floor joists are labeled. Everything was stamped. And the 2x4s, everything was stamped on it, so you knew exactly what part went where, like an Erector set. And you built your own home.
And take it, screw B,
yes,
put it into
yes,
yes, floor joist
tab A into slot B.
Yes. Yep. That's exactly how it went.
And then there'll be either five screws that you didn't get or five screws over.
Right. Right. Exactly. Hmm. And
never want to have extra parts.
No. When you have extra parts, that means you are better than the engineers.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what that means.
No.
Yeah.
My older brother learned that lesson with a Volkswagen. You know,
yeah.
Got a car, you know, an old Volkswagen, took all that sheet metal off the back, cut the back so you knew the motor was exposed, but
right,
the thing always ran hot.
Uh-huh.
Because he never put all the air deflectors back on.
Uh-huh.
So my dad, that was one of the things my dad valued, you know, that taught me great lesson.
Yeah.
If it was $1 for that sheet metal and they built 3 million Volkswagens, if they could have saved $3 million, they would have. Apparently they needed that.
Uh-huh.
So, true.
That's
so
exactly,
if it's on there, yep, it probably should go back on there for some reason.
Yeah.
See, there you go. If we were going to take apart the car and put it back together, we would just film ourselves taking it apart,
mm-hmm,
and then just play it in reverse.
Right. See, there you go.
Well, that does come in handy.
Says the tip of the week. You take something apart, make sure you film it.
Right, there you go. There's your tip for next week.
Yeah. No, I do that. I'll photograph something just so I, you know,
yeah,
take it apart, put it back together, make sure it's right.
Yeah, especially if you open up something wiring schematic or you're opening up a switch box or something and it's not color coded correctly and not exactly sure. The blue and the black were combined with the yellow over here, and you know this black, yep, went here. This white was connected to this yellow over there, and so
pictures yep, absolutely help everything I do around here. Because what I'll do is I'll finally set something, get everything going. I'll take a picture of it because tomorrow it's gonna be different because somebody touched it.
Uh-huh.
So now I can look right back at my picture, even with wiring. If I've got to take something apart or move something around, I'll take a picture of how it was before,
right,
and then make sure that whatever I was messing around with goes right back in the exact same place.
Right.
But these high definition pictures, you can zoom in and actually look at the the details and the wrap and everything of the actual wire itself. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I use that stuff when I'm taking stuff apart, and you know, especially like I said, when it's not wired normally. And you know you're going to have to put it back together. Take a picture of it first. That way you know. Because just in my brain, I'm already used to, you know, whites are always going to be neutrals. And they're never connected to a switch. So, you know, all of a sudden you're connecting something to a switch. I start putting it back together the way my brain tells me to, and it doesn't work, you know. Then I got to go back to the picture and go, oh, that's right, that neutral isn't a neutral. That's a switch leg. I need to put
all
that over
here. All the
wires
are green.
Yes, because it's Romex.
Yes, exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. You are listening to...
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. We're also brought to you in part on the Facebook by First Northern Credit Union, and that's what I just said. Now, what's the next one? AWM Roofing. Just go to awmroofing.com. There it is. I was waiting for the scroll, and the next plank popped up. I just did that thing where you just read what you see. And then Fast Signs, 80 at fastsigns.com for more information. Did I cover that okay there, Sonar?
Yeah, Fast Signs of Lincolnwood.
Fast Signs of Lincolnwood. Sponsored.
847-675-1600.
Hey.
Look at that. Somebody's paying attention.
Absolutely.
And not me. Somebody is. It's the way it goes.
Well, if we want to get a name for the phone line, we got to keep, you know, promoting somebody.
Yeah, your phone line, your name here is...
Yes, your name here phone line.
Yes.
Call in with questions.
There you go.
You could call that phone line to sponsor it.
There you go. 877-711-5611. There you go. So, something else that I don't know if you saw what Will posted on Facebook, but it was
which one?
The tree that shorted out against the service wires, and then the whole tree exploded and went on fire.
Yes, that was very cool.
Yes,
but that's very unusual, though, isn't it?
Yes, as long if they haven't been, most of the time they go around trimming the trees so that it doesn't happen, but. If that tree obviously overgrew that and hadn't been trimmed in a while, so then as the limbs keep rubbing on the wire, eventually it wears through the insulation on the wire, and then if it rains or it gets enough humidity out, then that tree will be making contact with the wire, and then it shorts out. It starts to arc, and then the whole thing catches on fire, and you have this huge arcing explosion in the trees. So. There's a good reason not to plant trees right under your power lines. And there's
The village requires you to put trees in the parkway.
I know.
Right below the utility lines.
So that they can cut them and make the trees into this, like, U-shaped,
the
ugly
YMCA
thing.
Look.
Yes.
Exactly. I saw one the other day that looked like it had forked, but they only kept one fork.
Right.
And then they just shaved all the other branches. So it was like a leaning L.
Yes. And why? Just take the damn thing down.
Yeah. Because in the same thing, I think in Florida, if you get rid of a tree, you have to put another one somewhere else.
Sure.
So they said, well, instead of just getting rid of it, we'll just shave it down to where it's essentially just a giant stump.
Right.
And then we technically didn't get rid of it.
It's a telephone pole.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everything down here grows like a weed. So when you cut them back like that, it's pretty amazing how much they come back in a year.
Yeah.
Like, they're back. So you can cut them down like that. But, I mean, what do you do with a palm, right? Cut off the top. It's pretty much it's a telephone pole
it's
sticking up.
Yeah, it's a telephone.
Still a palm.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I say pole.
If you're going to be planting trees, don't plant them underneath the power lines or around your power lines. Make sure they're away where they're not going to get involved, and rub on that. As soon as they start rubbing the insulation off the wires, then you're going to have problems. And there's areas like up in Wisconsin, we were working up there, they don't have any insulation on the wires. They're just open. The air is the insulation.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's.
So most places are like that with their power lines, aren't they? With the feeder lines?
What, say that again?
Not going from your transformer to your house, but the main conductors are usually uninsulated.
On the telephone poles in this area, they are. They're still insulated. They're not open air.
If you're expecting to have this tree forever, because, I mean, why plant a tree and then go, you know what, in 5 years I don't want this tree here.
Right.
If you're planning on having one, how far away do you think you should put it? Away from the house, away from breakers, away from whatever. What are your guys' minimum distance?
I'm not the tree guy, but the canopy size on the species.
Yeah, I would be looking at, when it's fully grown, what's the diameter of that tree? And that's how far it should be. Away from your house, plus another 5 feet or 10 feet.
Okay.
And the same thing with your power lines. You want to make sure that they're away from the power lines.
So however far the canopy would be, then add another 5 feet to it.
I would.
In there. So you're looking at a good 20, 30-foot area
Oh, yeah.
to make sure that this this tree never gives you problems.
Right.
That's right. The last thing you want to do. You want to grow a problem.
Right. Right.
Well, that is where the problem lies. In most villages, that you are required to put in one or two parkway trees.
Yes.
If I go out front right now and take a picture of my parkway, directly overhead are the power lines.
Right.
But they're going to require me to stick a tree under it.
Yeah.
Not going to hurt for a few years. But the next hurricane, then they're going, oh, geez, we lost power. I wonder why. Because the big tree you had me plant 15 years ago hit them.
Right, right, right. So I also don't like getting them too close to the house because then squirrels and raccoons have access to your roof. So that's not good. You need to keep them cut back away from the house far enough that also that the sun can get to your roof and to all the walls and stuff and be able to dry your house out properly. Putting bushes right up against the house, and you've got a wood siding. You don't want to do that. You want to make sure they're 2 to 3 feet off the house, so that way.
So one side of my house was all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that, Rich?
One side of my house was all brick, no windows in it, nothing, just all common brick. And
yeah.
So I put arborvitaes to grow up, and shade that side of the house.
Right.
Because it was brutal. You know, at night you'd try to go to bed and that brick was so hot, it would just radiate that energy till, 1 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So by shading it, but we kept them away. In other words, they weren't right up against the wall. They're still a good foot.
Right.
Between there so it'd get some airflow. But yeah, you got to plan ahead.
Right, right. And then as cool as the ivy looks, you don't want that growing on your house.
think the rooting in the mortar is bad?
Yourself. Yeah. Yeah, they root into the mortar. The mortar starts falling apart. The bricks are falling apart. It's not good. So
mortar mites.
Yeah, exactly. So
and you got to hire an exterminator to come kill the mortar mites.
Yeah. So if you look on Facebook, you'll see a video of that tree catching on fire from that. And it also.
That was pretty cool, though. I mean, it was pretty bright.
Yeah. No, it was. It was pretty nasty. So. The other thing that we had a picture of that I think it was Will that posted was bath fans vented into the attic, but only over towards the ridge vent. Never vented out.
That's all we
used to do. Never vented outside. But there's a slight issue with that, is there not? If you just
over the smell, yeah. I mean, it's the smell of the first thing. I mean, that's the only reason anybody ever turns those vents on anyway.
Well, they shouldn't be. They should be turning them on because. They're taking a bath or a shower, and there's humidity in there, and they want to get some of that humidity out, not just the stench that may have been caused prior to the shower. You know,
I agree, and that's the thing. In the winter, that humidity that you pump out into your attic is going to condense on the rafters and bottom side of the roof deck and cause it to either rot prematurely or, even worse, you could get organic growth.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Again, when I first started as a carpenter, that's how we were taught to vent. You brought those tubes, the 4-inch flex, up towards a roof vent.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. We didn't do roof jacks. We didn't do them in the soffits.
Yeah. Well, we would just lay them into the soffit. And so it would just dump out into the soffit. But then that's warm air. So then what's the warm air do? It rises. So then it would go into the soffit, but then rise up along the roof line.
Still go to the plywood.
And it would stick to the backside of the plywood, and that's... rots out the roof then. So,
well, that's how I say, when you find these things if you're inspecting a home, you find these things, it's not that it was, is it the best thing to do today? No, but it met code when the house was built. So you can improve it.
Right. We've learned.
I don't know. If a guy brings me in a report like that on my house. I go, I didn't tell you I built it yesterday. Take it or leave it. I'm not changing anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, cool. Now what do you
and mean? Then he had other ones like, well, who posted? Did you post the one with the desk lamp wired to the AB box?
Yes, I got that.
So that seems like an intelligent move, too.
Wait, what happened?
Look on our Facebook.
Two wires sticking out of the electrical box. So they took the two wires and tied them to the two prongs on the plug for a desk lamp and then hung the desk lamp from the BX that was running to the box in the first place. So they had a light.
Yes. And you know how the plug has holes in the edge of the tabs?
Yeah.
That he ran the wire through that, he or she, I shouldn't just assume he did it, but they ran the wire through there and then twisted it around and crimped it onto the plug.
Wow.
So that way it was making contact.
Yeah.
Well, your caption was perfect. What's a little that? Knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I put on there too.
I was working on a boat that just had 12 volts going through it, and the guy made the main power line act like just a jumper. All he would do was shave away just a little bit of the covering, and then he would tape a new wire onto that.
Right.
And it was just like, really, man? You're just making a T-junction, I guess?
Yes. But that's knob and tube in your home. That's how they used to do it. They would shave the insulation off, and if they wanted to go a different direction, they would just shave the insulation off there, wrap the wire around it, and they would solder it on there to make sure it stayed. And then you put friction tape on it, taped it up, and you're off and running.
There you go.
And done. And that was the way to do it.
Man.
You know, back in the 20s, obviously.
And I couldn't imagine being on a boat like that and all of a sudden a fire catches because some guy just wrapped it in electrical tape.
Yep, but that's how they used to do it. And that's why there were a lot of electrical fires. And that's why the Chicagoland area requires conduit now.
There you go.
No extension cords anymore. All right, we'll be back to wrap up the show right after this. You're listening to...
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live, mightyhouse.net, tunein.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at mightyhouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on homeimprovementusa.com. Find links to all of them at mightyhouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And let's see.
And then,
okay, you ready for this, Sonar?
Yes.
We're going to go over this weekend lineup now.
Okay.
You ready? So, after us is, there's like this Mindful Money
commercial
show.
Break.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mindful Money's on after us, and then after that, Gina Woods, Open Road Radio.
Oh, wait. Gina doesn't follow us anymore?
No, there's this.
No. No, I need that hour. I need that hour to set up that amazing show.
See, here's the problem. It's too stressful to be having one show coming in and one going out at the same time. It's too stressful. Can't handle that.
I need
it's too much pressure.
A little bit more than 6 minutes to set up a show. I mean,
Come on.
I'm good, but I mean,
6 minutes is a lifetime.
7 is a little bit better for me, so...
So
it should be all set up.
Okay, so here's what
we
need to talk.
This messing around.
We need to talk Chuck into this.
Uh-huh.
Let's go take that container we've got out there.
Okay.
Empty it out. We make that into another studio and connect it here on the back.
Hey.
So then we have two studios.
Just right into it. Swap right through.
Yeah, and then you just switch from this studio to that studio back and forth.
Okay.
What do you think?
What about platforms? We just roll around.
Let's get the FM stuff done first before you do that.
Rich wants the FM connected first.
Oh, okay. Well, let's do that. And that's,
I would prioritize.
That's just a couple months down the line. We'll have that real soon.
Yeah.
I was looking at the pattern the other day, and we shoot right into the city.
Really?
Yep, right at it.
Well, you know, I was down on Ohio Street.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio and Clark, and I was picking up 1590 listening.
What this will do is it'll fill in a lot of the gaps that we've got. Somebody maybe having trouble because a large building might be next to them or anything like that. So this will fill in the gaps, and I mean, heck, it's a FM station.
You're right.
Once we go to 50, I'll get a lot more complaints for the neighbors by the tower that we're getting.
Bleeding over.
Fluorescent lights won't shut off.
Exactly. There's a bus dispatch that's right next to the towers on Howard, and they're listening to me right now because it's the only thing that pumps through their through their system. So thanks, guys.
They're stuck.
Give me a call again. I'll see what I can do about figuring that out.
Yeah, but see, then they can listen to Gina at 11. Was it 11 to 1, Gina
11
Woods?
To 1.
And then we've got 312 Sports coming on after that,
312 Sports is a great show. This will be the third week that they're putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing show, great time, talking about pretty much everything sports, Chicago sports, 312. So it's great.
Awesome.
Right, and you know what comes on after that?
You guys.
Yeah. Mighty House Replay.
This very conversation.
We'll be replaying again. It's so riveting. I get in my truck. I'm leaving the office last Saturday and went, hey, there we are again.
That's exactly. There he is.
Yeah. So, and then tomorrow, Mike Jackson Outdoors, 7 to 9. Mike Novak Show with Peggy Malecki's on from 9 to 11. 12 to 1 is Richie Z with the Automotive Heaven. And then 1 to 3 is Playtime with Bill Turk and Kerry Kendall.
Playtime will be at Murphy's Bleachers tomorrow.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, we'll be down like there fun. Doing a live remote.
How do you wrangle that?
So come down. He's got connections.
Bill's got connections.
He does have connections. So yeah. So we'll be there while they're playing the game on the TV. We'll be sitting in the back having our playtime fun.
Drinking beer.
I think if you have a show that says something like Playtime, you could probably get into joints like that. But when you're Mighty House Home Improvement,
yeah.
I think we're already predestined to be at box stores.
A big box store at a lumber yard, yeah.
That's okay. Yeah,
somehow
I'm
getting
on
the front row seats at a ball
guys.
Game.
Yeah.
A remote system for you guys where maybe Robbie's over at the container store.
Okay, or the Restore.
Yeah, Restore? Exactly. Yeah, the box-in-box store.
There you go, box-in-boxes. All right.
So we can get something good going.
Yep, so there's our lineup for today and this weekend.
Yeah.
Ever-changing,
yeah,
ever-evolving.
Yeah, because people ask. People want to know. We're trying to get something for the listeners. Mm-hmm. And like always, you can always go to 1590 on Facebook, and you can see all the shows straight through. So if you can't catch it on the terrestrial, anything that we do in studio, we have Facebook Live for it.
Yep.
So go right back through.
Yep, you can go back and listen to it.
Extraterrestrial?
Extraterrestrial.
Extraterrestrial. Every time.
No, that's not until the FM comes
every
in.
Every time. Then, well, no, even now. I always joke with people that my audience isn't now.
Right.
It's the 100,000 light years away. There's an alien that's going to be picking us up in about 100,000 years. Going to be like, that's Sonar Guy. He had it.
Yeah,
he had it.
Excellent. Excellent.
And Robbie will get junk drawers from another planet.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, pictures of junk drawers. Yeah, coming in. So that was our clutter clarity ending to our clutter clarity tip. Just to recap, that is, we need a picture of your junk drawer and the tools that you keep in your junk drawer, if you do keep any in there. So
the list of the five things you think is most important in that drawer.
Right. Yeah.
No particular order. Your top five. No right. No wrong.
Of tools. Of top five tools that that are in there.
Because everybody's got them. Right. Everybody's got a hammer or at least something hard and metal they can hit stuff with. I mean, that's it. Isn't that the requirement?
Right.
Hard,
that is the
metal,
truth, yes.
Be able to hold in your hand.
Right.
That's a hammer.
Exactly.
Sorry,
as long as it'll push what I'm trying to hit without collapsing.
Right. Okay. And you can send those to Robbie@MightyHouse.net. That's Robbie, Robbie, at MightyHouse.net. And you can send it to her on Facebook, too, if you want, or post it on Twitter.
I just hope she gets inundated with emails this week.
And yes, and she's like,
what the hell did those guys do?
Yeah, exactly. Why am I getting all these pictures of junk drawers? It, just so that she can go into convulsions because they're not organized?
Yeah.
Make sure they're as messed up as possible, because she'll just go into convulsions if they're not all organized.
Yeah,
just
mix them up.
Well, as soon as we're done, I'm going to go get the picture of the bosses here and get it over to her.
Yeah, but see, I'll bet you that everything is lined up in her junk drawer. Everything's lined up and categorized by color.
It's,
oh, no.
Now, wait. To clarify, I have what you would call a junk drawer, and that's got some papers and stuff in it.
Right.
But we have a tool drawer.
Oh, okay.
So it is not neat and orderly. They are stacked, but there are plenty of tools in there enough to run the household.
Oh, got it.
So that will be an interesting photo for you. So then you see what we got.
Yeah. Good.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to take all my silverware and just dump it into a drawer.
Uh-huh.
Instead of the separator, I'm just going to take them out of the separator.
Oh, yeah. That'll drive her crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
That would drive her nuts. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. If you have those pictures of your junk drawer, send it to Robbie, Robbie, at MightyHouse.net. And what we'll do is we'll have her select her favorite, and we'll mail you out one of these fancy measuring devices that also has a bubbler leveler on it, as she would call it, a notepad and all that. Right there, it just says MightyHouse.net on it. You can see, I don't know if you can see that on Facebook Live. All right.
It wasn't too bad, but it is a little schmall.
Yeah. The conversation continues all week long on Facebook and Twitter. Newsletter, if somebody wanted to sign up for the newsletter, Rich, what do they do?
go to mightyhouse.net. Go to the contact page, just first, last name, email address, click on submit, and we'll get you that. Let you know what's coming up each and every week.
There you go. And next week, we're going to talk to Kelsey Brown from Quality Logo Products. She's the one that gave us these tape measures and stuff. Really cool. So we'll talk to her about these. We'll also have a Mighty House Tip of the Week and Clutter Clarity. In between that, we'll be taking your phone calls. Thanks to Greg Merced about talking about safer cleaning products for your kids and how to get them to work.
BusyKid.net or .com?
BusyKid.net. Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. And for Rich Calgill, Robbie Earhart, who was off today, Sonar filling in for her, basically.
We miss you.
Trixie, I'm Ron Calgill. Keep it square and level.
Until next Saturday.
If you have any questions during the week, you can always post them on Facebook and Twitter. Join us next Saturday for more home infotainment. Mighty House is a Square and Level Media production.
Mighty House.